My name is Izumi Aizu. I work for Asian Pacific Internet Association as Secretary General.
And the first question is, are you familiar with the at-large membership structure of ICANN?
I think so. I'm the member of the NAC. Yes.
So you're intimately familiar. And what do you think the goal of this system was meant to be?
Well, it is mandated by the white paper that I can be open, fair, bottom-up global private organization. And then after the I can create it, that also again the POC condition to make it an open membership organization, so that every voice, any participation can be guaranteed to be part of the ICANN process, to make it a global open organization.
And in your opinion, are the current membership bylaws written in such a way to accommodate this goal?
Not perfectly so. I mean, there are certain areas which remain at least to be discussed and to be implemented. For example, the at-large council is unclear what its roles and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, at-large membership itself isn't really clear what are the limitations and rights and responsibilities of the needs or benefits of.
And do you have an opinion about what those rights and benefits should be?
Yes, I do.
Can you share that with us?
Of course, the minimal one needs to be eligible to vote, ultimately for the board.
Mm-hmm.
But for the current bylaws, say, and I 60 to 40 support that,
mm-hmm.
that might be a good idea to have council
mm-hmm.
so that it makes indirect voting.
And what is the reason for that?
I don't want to see a sort of surprise by opening up the ballot one day, one single election decides mm-hmm. set of board of directors, be it 9 or 3 by 3 by 3, which it is very unpredictable. Once the membership is closed for voting, you can't
mm-hmm.
really change composition of the membership as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet usage distribution is very much biased to certain areas. Although there's geographic diversity close, it doesn't really fully guarantee the geographic diversity, no economy or anything else. And I don't think that there'll be too much capture, intentional capture may happen, but even once, I'm sorry to say this, but those who are not familiar with can easily participate in ICANN and vote. And if we make the direct voting decision, it's easier, the popular, not necessarily the proper side will be selected.
Mm-hmm.
So with the name council, yes, there are certain potential programs of manipulating or doing the negotiations behind closed doors, things like that. But if we can guarantee certain open process of nomination and voting by the council members to the board, then we can avoid this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, I felt the original assumption is that at-large membership will have only the right to vote. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they can participate to the annual general assembly or annual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you set up council and maybe likely to set up some working groups and things like that, that they will have more participation channel to the specificities of the interest of the members.
So right now they cannot participate in working groups that develop policy?
I don't think so.
No. And
if, of course, they can participate through the NSO.
Right,
like that.
Through their organizational membership within
the ESO
structure.
The NSO General Assembly, if I'm correct, can still participate.
Oh, the General, so they can join the General Assembly of the ESO without being a member of the ASO, PSO, CMSO?
And you can create your one-man organization,
So, for instance,
it doesn't have to be a legal organization, by the way.
A legal, right. But they can be an at-large member as an individual, so theoretically the individual domain name holders could be at-large members.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. And
good question, though, is that if, say, additional GPLB is proposed from the DNSO and adopted, and if the at-large members don't like that, can we try to veto, or can we, how do we participate in this? Those DNSO people think that at-large shouldn't have a voice other than the at-large board members make the final decision. I think the at-large members within certain mutually agreed procedures should participate in these debates and discussions as well. But we have to sort it out.
It's not clear yet.
So put the restriction is as well.
So what is your level of confidence that the goals can be accomplished, the goals of the at-large membership to represent those who are not already represented?
In the long run, it will be hopefully accomplished. Will it be accomplished by the first round? No.
The first round being
5,000, or and then we go to election. I think it's just the beginning of, not the end of the story. So there may be more problem or some errors. We are human beings.
And would you be willing to participate further yourself in the process?
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
Yeah. And when someone says the word capture,
yeah,
they do capture, what does that bring to mind for you in the organization?
I'm actually very sort of optimistic about program capture.
Yeah.
If one party tries to capture, the other will also try to capture. So it's almost synonymous with competition of influence. As long as we can establish certain open mechanisms, and I'm the one who strongly advocated the Bill of Fee, bearing the mind of the developing country's people. And some people are, within the map, we argue that if you set a membership fee, it's easy to capture by anybody. I said, would you like to be captured by the poor or captured by the rich? Okay. I'd rather prefer to be captured by the poor. Okay, so that the large and wealthy organization can't really alone manipulate. Small organization or anybody can capture. So, but it's a good, often it is used to sort of encourage your own constituency to participate by emphasizing that others might capture this. So you'll be excluded. What I call negative theory or negative approach. It's very difficult to prove what the positive side of being participating to ICAP. But again, capture itself in theory it's a big issue. In reality, I don't think so.
So what is your biggest concern about the creation of the at-large membership and voting mechanism?
One is actual lack of participation or lack of real serious participation. That it's easy to say have 1,000 from Japan and 2,000 from Africa who don't really understand ICANN, but if we try to and bring them in and vote for, but then they will not make any sound decisions or not lead to so the outreach of the substances is one thing. Actually, what I'm personally concerned is that now it's debating over there. The government seemingly tried to retain the control of authority of the news server longer than originally planned, and there's no clause that they will take off me. Whether that is acceptable by the other governments and other people should be examined. I thought they were going to privatize as soon as possible. Is it happening? I don't really know. Mixed readings I can make. Ironically, maybe legally correct way is to just make an international treaty or something. 結局、昼間に作ってくれる時間が入ったら、明日の朝からもう暴動とぶつかる。
Yeah, the concern is, yeah, on the one hand, I really appreciate Marco to spend $200,000 to begin with for that last campaign, which I can desperately need it, although they didn't do that much to me. Yeah, two concerns. One is that it should be multi-funding sources of geographic diversity from the beginning, and that makes ICANN more global organization. If the money came from Marco, is nothing wrong, but it would be ideal to start simultaneously with other sources of funding, although it's too late, so I try to catch it up.
But, have matching funds from other international organizations.
Actually, if ICANN board seriously work out that, they should be able to do it. That's why the regional representatives are there.
You feel that it should be a priority?
Still the priority seems to be very low on the last membership. Mm-hmm. To make it politically correct, and acceptable. By the same token, the CDT or Common Cause Carter Center, I don't have any criticisms for each, but all of them are North American organizations. Although Carter Center has extensive experiences outside work, but the basic value underlying Carter Center, for example, is very much U.S. Western democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain people out there who are using the internet may not directly subscribe to these values. Because I'm living in Malaysia. Malaysia is one of the most, say, on the one hand, anti-American countries with the Prime Minister. And they don't really like to have the external values coming in. They like to have harmonization. They don't want to be explicit anti-American or anti-West. But by the same token, they don't want to be pushed the values from outside. So you have to be very sensitive and careful to execute these activities. And this is, the ICANN's case, this is not a direct political problem. It's more of the business trade matter or, you know, industry matter too. So it could be better. For example, there are certain NGOs out there in Asia who may have a similar activities with Carter or centers or others, but who has more, you know, rooted to the local culture and people, so that they can ask more, you know, for the bridging. For example, there's one, I think the NGO is called the Third World in Malaysia and Penang, who are interested in this issue. We try to educate them. And we have some difficulty in finding where we can put them. They're not interested in directly becoming a flag member. They may be interested in overseeing the, you know, people's interests of their country rightly, democratically, international representative.
So you said they're not interested in becoming individual members.
A large member.
Why is that?
So then they don't think that, you know, internet user is not good enough for them to spend resources for their values themselves. What I mean. If they use internet, so what? But if they say it's a moral issue, if we say how the Malaysian people can be represented into ICANN, and then this becomes a totally different one, right?
Yeah.
And if say you guys send a message to the counterpart of the NGO who are like like-minded people to participate, to voice in, then, and I'm sure the Carter Center wouldn't object for it, but you need certain mechanisms to facilitate that proactively. That would be great. By the same token, and that's why I called for lunch and meeting today and invited us to Andrew Shapiro, that the original MAC members from being there. And they wanted to give input and sort of liaison work so that the previous work of Mac was well understood and replaced.
And did that go well?
Yeah. In general, I think so. But without that, I knew Marco and Andrew, so I wasn't too much worried. But other members of Mac had no idea who Marco is or who Andrew is, not to mention CDC or others. They were surprised. What happened to our work? And certainly, on the record, I was very unhappy after the release. After we presented the report to the board, my strong direct impression from the board is that they didn't take it seriously, of our report and recommendation. Including, they didn't really thank us directly. They said something in the meeting, they thanked the men. Nobody sent any email to members of men. Except one guy at first. No one from the board. In Asia, we care about football. If you spend a hell of a lot of time and energy, if they deserve for some nation, personally or whatsoever, the way they conducted us in the mass meeting building was very frustrating. And I really was pissed off. And I accused them. Although later they seem to notice that. But even from the behaviors afterwards, for Santiago and BFM, I still have reservations that each and every member of the board is not taking enough priority in the assessment yet.
You'll have to stick with them and with the new board members and get a sense
of
where they are.
Yeah, it varies by member of the board, but in general, I can't still stand on this, unfortunately. Although I fear that there are certain other priorities under staff, this and that. It depends on that. It's a priority matter. If it's priority number one or number two, they shouldn't make that. If it's priority number 10, then that priority itself is wrong.
Thank you very much. So if you could please state your name.
Kantana Kantana from Thailand.
Thank you. The first question is, and of course we know the answer, are you familiar with the at-large membership structure?
Yes, because, well, I was involved in, I'm a member of the membership advisory committee, but we did not propose the at-large membership.
That was adopted. What is your opinion about the membership bylaws that were adopted?
I think it's, I have no objection to what has been adopted, but I was more concerned about the process when it became adopted.
How was that?
When we submitted our report to ICAN, and after that, we handed to the staff, and they did not keep us informed or find out us at all. The 3 months between Berlin and Santiago.
And what do you think the goal was meant to be of the at-large constituency?
From my understanding, goal would be to reach out to as many internet populations as possible, all over the world.
For broad and representation. And is that the same goal as what you would have it be, in your opinion? Do you agree that that's what it should be?
Yes.
Do you think that the current structure is sufficient to meet this?
In my opinion, the goal should be not just including the present users of the internet, but potential users where the internet will have impact on. For example, people in developing countries, they may have heard of the internet, but they have no access as yet. But I think these people should be included.
So how would you devise membership criteria? Who gets to be a member, in your opinion, and who should be able to vote?
Well, anyone.
Anyone at all. Any human being.
Yeah, who is interested.
Uh-huh. I see. What is your level of confidence that the goals to represent all of these people can be accomplished?
The problem that, you know, we and all of us knew that my goal is to be practical because of the inequality, economic inequality. I don't expect that people in the village in India be able to participate in this process. However, I think with our mechanism, I can allow for, you know, to be flexible enough that those people can be accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may not be passive.
That they should be allowed to if they wish to.
Yes.
And what is your opinion about the current diversity requirements in the at-large structure?
It's very, very difficult to be passive. But if we don't have to worry about the remaining number of board members, but we are only concerned about the 9 at-large members, then it's easier to handle. At the moment, the geographical diversity that we have to worry about in the board for the entire board.
For the entire board.
Yeah. We have to be concerned about the at-large representation only, then it can be accommodated.
Mm-hmm. And what is your opinion about the council, the at-large council structure?
At the moment, I didn't have any details of the council. I don't even know how to get it.
Oh, you don't know how it would work. But you were aware that they adopted an indirect council structure.
It was discussed as one of the options when we discussed it.
And when you hear the word capture, what does that mean to you, capture with an ICANN?
What do you mean?
Do you fear that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Who is it that you fear would capture the membership and therefore the board?
We are big business, big organization. Of course, this implies advanced countries.
Advanced countries. And is there a specific U.S.-centric concern?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a
included.
Mm-hmm. Do you have opinions or ideas for how to counter that potential danger?
One idea is to get developing smaller nations to be very active in ICANN. But that is extremely difficult. We have so much to do with it. Apart from that, I don't see how can help.
And would you be interested or willing to participate moving forward in the creation of this structure?
I would be interested in helping on the outreach to Asian population.
Excellent. Do you have any other concerns that you would want to express going forward with the creation of the at-large membership? it can be on.
It's, well, you know, I sometimes I found the process very open, but sometimes I found it suddenly closed. You know, I don't think that's a very good
the process of MAC or in relationship to the ICANN board.
Yeah.
ICANN.
So for us, particularly for you know people representing disadvantaged nations, we felt of course we cannot help if we feel that we've been used, but we feel like courses I can just to decorate.
Uh-huh. And you still feel that way?
At the moment, yes, but I'm not, you know, I'm not giving up yet, I think.
And is there any other advice that you would give to people going forward and making, evaluating what the MAC has created and what the board has adopted and where to go from here? What would you recommend?
For those people who are going forward, well, it's hard because I don't see who are the people and you know the role of ICANN and the role of organization network.
No understanding of how it works. I'd be happy to explain that to you after. Okay. Thank you very much.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, why didn't you make the call for proposal from external organization known to MAC members?
Yeah, so what you're
so
saying
that we
is
can, you know, forward to
you strongly recommend that the groups who are coming on board now to look at what's taking place and make recommendations to ICANN, like the Carter Center and Common Cause and CBT, that they reach out internationally through
I
the MAC
that,
recommendations?
No, I heard that at the moment, the organizations that you have been on the list are US-based.
Uh-huh.
And you told me that there was a period where you called for proposal.
No, that's what ICANN did when ICANN was asking for funding of their membership.
Right. But ICANN
we received proposals from organizations and spoke with the people that we knew in this space and intend to reach out internationally to similar such organizations, which is why your recommendation to be in touch with the MAC is so important, right?
Yeah. At least a member of the group MAC would, you know, have been thinking about what is involved in the process. Because when we came up with recommendation, we had to exercise our thoughts from our own environment.
Uh-huh.
We knew who our organization is, you know, we would be practicing at.
That's very important, yes. I think you're right that it's important that it is at the very earliest stage of trying to evaluate the situation that these groups reach out internationally to partners and they can do that more easily through using the MAC as a resource because of all of the good work that's been done on outreach so far, right? Yeah. So I hope you all heard that. Thank you.
But, I mean, it could be done at some point or at some rate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your sense of the adequacy of the plans for global representation and within the at-large membership?
Well, I guess what I just, I mean, the most desirable aspect might be just, you know, balanced, you know, representation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I really don't want it to apply some internet user rate or something, because like, if we use it, I mean, criteria, there might be very, very kind of like, you know, discrimination against something to underrepresented regions.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, for example, Asia Pacific, we will have a lot of, you know, students trying to increase internet users, like maybe within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be just, you know, maybe 10 times or 100 times more. It would
mm-hmm.
be very, very soon. It will mm-hmm. come soon, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really don't want to see kind of, like, that there's some kind of limit, because that could be really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and have you read the at-large membership bylaws?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just read through, but not the details.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And does it look to you to be a satisfactory plan?
It sounds okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not sure because I'm not a lawyer, so probably some lawyer could, you know, detect something, you know, suspicious or like dangerous. But I mean, at least to me, it seems okay.
So if you could
uh-huh.
create the perfect at-large membership,
uh-huh.
what goals would you spell out, would you set for that?
Well, actually, that's kind of one of my passions about, you know, this ICANN thing. What I will do, I will have as many as seminars in each city, like in each country. So actually, I have them get like the 5 seminars, like in Kuala Lumpur, and Seoul, and Bangkok, Taipei, and Beijing. And we would like to do more things like that, like next year.
To get people involved
yeah, sure.
and
yeah.
understanding the issue.
Yeah.
yeah.
And why people should be in the ICANN instead of just watching the ICANN.
And why do you think people should be in ICANN?
Well, what I'm thinking is, this is going to change a lot of paradigms, you know? This
mm-hmm.
is new setting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you kind of participate to make a new rule, you can, you know, reflect your
mm-hmm.
otherwise, you know, you will just follow what has been written or
mm-hmm.
what has been, you know, spread by some other like country who just have entered here before
mm-hmm.
and they say this is the rule, we almost follow and
mm-hmm.
that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have experienced that before, actually 8 other countries, maybe 100, maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to see it again.
In the internet rule
yeah.
setting community.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, well, maybe you remember like, you know, the end of 19th century or something. Like, they kind of, of course, a lot of Asian countries, well, this is your neighborhood, just open the door, and we wanted to be kind. But they were not kind, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be kind, but it's not. They just kind of demand, like, the rules only favorable to them, not favorable to us.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, if we don't participate in, then we'll do the same thing. That's what I think. So, but that's usually human being's nature, right? I mean, people don't want to lose their interest. People just want to have something they can have if they can, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's human nature. That's the nature of politics, right?
Thank you very much. Could you please state your name?
I'm Ellen Rowney, co-author of the Domain Name Handbook.
Thank you for talking with us. Our first question is, are you familiar with the at-large structure?
Yes, I am. I've been monitoring the issue since the inception of ICANN. And it's a structure that has changed dramatically recently.
What do you think the original goal of the at-large membership was meant to be?
I think the original goal was to provide a mechanism whereby this could be a bottom-up structure and the internet community could participate in decisions that would be affecting them as regards technical administration of the domain name system.
And what do you think of the current bylaws adopted by ICANN regarding membership?
I think that this late insertion of an at-large council that gets to select or elect the members to the ICANN board is an insult to the individual representation that expected to have a voice in ICANN affairs. From the beginning of this process, there has always been envisioned a general membership organization. And there, of course, has been some confusion and difficulty in how do you define it, how do you authenticate it, but there was always the concept that it would be one individual, one voice, one vote. And now ICANN has moved into a position that I can only describe as paranoia in creating this at-large council, at-large council to avoid derivative suicide, I think it's possible. Furthermore, when the individual domain name owner's constituency petitioned for recognition as a constituency under the BNSO, they were told, oh, you have your voice in the at-large membership. So they were using that to say, we can't have you here because we have you there, and now that voice has been removed.
So what, in your opinion, should be done about this problem?
Well, it's clear that I as an individual have no power, but I think people should be very vocal in their complaints about this insertion of an at-large council, but it appears that ICANN won't listen, and what should be done. I, as an individual domain name registrant, I feel powerless to this organization that is now creating policies that affect my use of the internet, and I feel offended by their arrogance in doing that. I have no contract with ICANN. They have no authority that I recognize, that I can attribute their role to, but like other domain registrants, we're powerless at this point, I feel.
What is your level of confidence that your voice can and will be accommodated in the development of the at-large membership?
I have absolutely zero confidence that my voice will be heard. Zero. None. Nada. No.
So
I have tried.
Are you saying you would argue that ICANN is a completely illegitimate organization for that reason?
Completely illegitimate is a bit of a stretch, but I believe that ICANN was brought to the community in an improper process, and therefore, by imposing upon the community a group of board members that were not chosen through any public process. And perhaps to bootstrap the organization, that would have worked if their sole function had been to facilitate the development of a membership structure. But instead, this initial interim unelected board moved to create policy. And because this was done in an improper and manner, I feel that all that has ensued from this interim board is likewise improper.
And assuming that something could be done about the structure of the at-large membership such that it would be representative, who would you think ought to be able to vote in the election of the leaders?
Okay, that was an interesting question. I think one has to be a stakeholder, by that I mean they have to be involved in either providing services, DNS services, infrastructure services, or be a domain name registrant. I don't think it's appropriate to assume that the membership is anybody who turns on a terminal and has access to the internet, because those people aren't yet invested in some personal way in how this operates. That would include, their definition would include my 13-year-old son, and I don't think that's right. I don't think he's truly a stakeholder. He's an internet user, but he's not a stakeholder in an organization that is dealing with technical administration. So I feel there has to be some more direct involvement than just global, anybody can do it, membership. And I think the fact is that they define the membership so large, so vaguely, so ubiquitously, but then they were left with this problem of, okay, now we've got this global membership, how do we authenticate, how do we deal with it? And my response was, you have to change your definition. because if you have some specific requirement that you have to be a domain registrant, you have to be providing infrastructure services, these things are verifiable. But just to say that my 13-year-old son can be a member is ludicrous.
And when someone says the word capture, what does that mean to you in relation to ICANN and in relation to the at-large membership?
Capture indicates to me that there is a special interest group that has the dominant voice in making policy recommendations or votes that affect what recommendations get forwarded to the board, or in fact, on the board and the voting on the board. That's the capture to me.
And are you afraid of capturing the at-large membership?
I'm afraid of ICANN doing something expedient to get up to their 5,000 member threshold. By expedient, I mean going to an organization that has an existing mailing list, large mailing list, and saying, please flush out your members and encourage them to join. Those organizations that are well-funded and well-organized can do that, so that the largest constituency, I believe, in the Internet in 3 years is going to be individuals, and individuals have no such organization. And what I think you'll get is strong representation from organized groups such as INTA, the International Trademark Organization, because they have a mailing list. They have a way of getting these people to be involved, and that's my concern. The 5,000 member threshold pushes ICANN to go and reach out to those groups, but I don't know how they can reach out to the smaller, less organized, less visible groups that represent individuals.
Thank you very much.
That's it?
Do you have anything else that you would want to add about the at-large membership structure and voting system?
I'd like to add something about Markle.
Yes.
I hope that it will be made clear that Markle is facilitating the outreach, but not facilitating other activities of ICANN which are controversial. I think there needs to be that separation. It came up today in the meeting. What is Markle funding, and how can the community be assured that ICANN won't take those funds it receives from Markle and just them where they're not intended?
What place does that be in your...
I don't know. I didn't raise that concern. But given that ICANN has been so financially strapped for so long, now all of a sudden it has this golden egg of $1 million.
No, that's a misunderstanding.
Oh, maybe it is.
Situation, which I can clarify for you.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. If you could introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Ni Kweno, from Ghana.
And I understand you had been on the MAC previously, but you no longer are.
Yes, I was one of the members of MAC that did the preliminary work, and a report got accepted, and so to some extent the work of MAC is finished, and we are preparing for the next step.
And you had wanted to make a disclaimer about your views being own?
Yeah, well, certainly the views are strictly my own views, my personal views. That's my current thinking after the time we are discussing, and have no relationship with the general opinion within the MAC membership, or that's not giving any indication whatsoever as to what MAC is likely to recommend, should it be reactivated or reformed in some way.
Right, understood. Thank you. Okay, so our first question is, are you familiar with the at-large structure?
I'll say yes, because the earlier formulation of ideas for at-large evolved from the MAC deliberations. I think it's been recently modified to some extent with the at-large council, but generally I'm reasonably familiar with what it's going to be.
And the currently adopted bylaws? The membership bylaws you have read?
Yes, at some point I knew it very well.
Okay. What do you think the goal of the at-large membership was meant to be?
Okay, I look at it somewhat simplistically in that there are two main groups, so to speak, in the internet development. There are suppliers of services, and then there are those that create demand for these services. The suppliers, in my opinion, are largely structured in the form of supporting organizations, and those who are creating demand in one form or another are in the form of the at large. And I think that brings a balance, two policies and so on that might be recommended by one side of the house to be balanced by the other. And I think that's a very good sort of scheme.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the bylaws as they currently exist are formulated to accomplish this scheme sufficiently?
Yeah, generally I think so. I don't see anything that goes against this idea. I think it is well formulated along those lines. I mean, that's the interpretation that I walked away from reading the bylaws a number of times. I think it's meant to create that kind of balance.
Do you think that it will be effective mm-hmm. in action?
Yes, but it depends on the fine details of how it is structured. If for instance, the at-large membership are not handled in a similar way as the supporting organizations are being handled, then they will have a somewhat lower value. And I'll just give you an example. Now, in the case of the supporting organizations, they are doing their elections globally, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
If the same is not done on the at-large, then it will take away from the strength of the at-large. Meaning, should it be done regionally, then, as an example, then it's likely that people who are elected from specific regions will not carry the same weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because well, global means you've got more general support and the internet is global. So we need to be very careful about the final structuring of how it is to be done to ensure that that balance is maintained.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the diversity requirements as they stand?
Well, actually I think it's been weakened somewhat as they stand. And I was not exactly very pleased with the relaxation, although it was not perceived as such, and I spoke against it on the grounds that you see, you need to insist on the geographic diversity across the board. Okay. Any suggestion that the geographic diversity requirement would be met from the at-large weakens, in my opinion, the at-large intended privilege or responsibility in the balance. But in the present formulation, things have been relaxed somewhat, suggesting that the geographic diversity would be met through the at-large. I don't think that is the right model.
Mm-hmm. And what is your level of confidence that the goals of this balance that the at-large is meant to represent will be accomplished?
Okay, my confidence is high because I'm one of those who are helping build the system. But my concerns are that most things can be fairly easily captured in a way. And so we should be very careful. And so that would be my main concern, that if the structures we are putting in place are not firm and we keep on relaxing the originally intended positions in the original bylaws, if we keep relaxing them because of operational difficulties, we could in fact create a situation where things can be captured.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my main worry here.
And who do you fear would be interested or able to capture the at-large membership?
Oh, actually, it can be big businesses, or it can be different ethnic groups, or, I mean, the capturing can be from anywhere. It's just that I'm from a minority group, so I'm concerned that I may not even have my due representation, especially as the original intentions of the bylaws are relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, I'm saying we should enforce what was intended in the original bylaws, even if it has operational problems. We should do your best, you know.
Spell that out for us, what that original bylaw requirement was?
Okay, originally, it just said that it must be someone from every, you know, it must satisfy someone from every region kind of requirement. And across the board, that's my understanding of it. But there were situations in which people felt that if you are not careful, you could get into a deadlock situation where, you know, you keep spending and trying to find that you can't get. I mean, what if there are no good candidates from a particular region? Those were the kinds of issues that were being concerning people. And as a result, you know, things were changed from the must be one to something of the sort that no more than a certain quantity from, you know, one region and that kind of thing. And I think that, in my opinion, although it's well-meaning, it creates the opportunity for groups to be excluded. Because I'm looking for inclusion right now. I'm looking for inclusion. And so it's not the upper limit that helps me. I'm saying it's the lower limit that there must be. It is more important. I'm not concerned about domination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just more concerned about inclusion. And so changes that take away the inclusion but put caps on what can come from a region, in my opinion, goes against my concerns.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think ought to be allowed to be members and vote in the at-large membership election?
Oh, as from my point of view, anyone who can be identified as a sister human being should be allowed to vote for the at-large membership. I mean, bear in mind, my constituency is an emerging community of internet users, and therefore any form of requirement that tends to restrict my people from having participation in the future would be a worry. So if you choose to use email address, for example, I can tell you that many people use the same address in my community and so on. So those are all worries that I'll have. And so I think the more important thing is that the person really exists as a person and is not a fake virtual person, but is real. And he can be asked to raise his hand or whatever, and he will do so. And I think that's the most important thing. Because I want to argue that you don't need to have an email address to be affected by the internet's working. I mean, traffic lights will soon be controlled through the internet, and so all these things begin to affect my people. And as such, we should take a somewhat broader view. But that's my personal opinion. I'm not looking at the operational problems and difficulties that might bring, but ideally, I would really be hesitant towards any proposal that would restrict my future communities that we are creating.
And do you have any specific concerns going forward to make recommendations about the development of the at-large membership?
Well, I think for me, the first worry I have is that having watched what has happened in the delegate style of voting in the case of the Mains Council, I will strongly suggest that is avoided. In the sense that all those things, in my opinion, can lead to capture. Simply because you really want at large to be based on popular support for for the person. And let's assume that people cannot create funny, fictitious human beings. I think at large should take on that kind of flavor. I wouldn't want at large to come out of a situation where somebody is well supported, but yet the at large council does not select him. I think that's not a good intention. It's not a good thing for one at large membership.
And are you happy with the structure of the at-large council and then the selecting the at-large members and directors rather?
Yeah, I guess I'm saying it's something that I'm not too happy about. I mean, I'm saying that it's better for the at-large membership to vote directly for the directors, because otherwise you become exposed to capture.
Okay, so you suggested direct election.
It's much better direct, yes. Mm-hmm. But the at-large should elect both the council as well as the directors. Because what tends to happen is that, see, at least at the time of elections for the at-large council, voting practices or whatever gets it. To have a fair number of, let me not even give an example, let's just take a simple. With an at large kind of council, it is possible someone may be very popular within the general membership, but mm-hmm. will still not be elected good
board.
And I'm saying that it's not a good idea for an at large membership.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good idea. Maybe it might work for the other things like names, council, and the like. I mean, I cannot comment on that. That's a different thing. But it strikes me as in the area of at-large membership, it should be because people think a particular person can represent their views, not because somebody else thinks they can represent their views. That interaction, I think, is inappropriate for at-large.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much for talking with me. There we go.
Okay, this is Oscar Roble from Mexicanic.
Great. Thank you for talking with me for a minute. First question, are you familiar with the at-large membership structure?
Yeah.
So what background have you had within ICANN and working with the development of these rules?
Okay, working with ICANN, working with the development of the ICANN structure, you mean? Okay.
Have you been following it just as for yourself, or have you been on a committee of any sort?
Yes, I've been following this process since IWP and before with the IHC, and since 1996, then IWP, then DNSO, and ICANN filing, you know. Meetings and later on the Melting Membership Advisory Committee, and as a member of the CCTLD Constituency.
And what do you think the goal of the at large membership is meant to be?
Okay, this is not really decided, but I think that it should be represent all the interests not already represented in the efforts and in the supporting organizations.
Mm-hmm. So who do you think should be able to vote and be a member of the at-large membership?
This is hard to decide too, because we have two choices. Let the individuals vote, or let the organizations vote, or part of them to vote. I think that we should define a better structure where it is not represented in the SOs may vote, whether or not to be an individual or organization. It's annoying, you know. It is not so important.
Well, some people have said that anyone with an email address should be able to vote, and some people have said anyone who has a registered domain name. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yes, I think that this is a reality in some countries, but maybe it is not in most developed countries, because most of people doesn't have a unique email address. They share a organizational email address. They share a computer. They share the connection, and they may use a services like Yahoo or Hotmail, Usenet. But this is not well known in most countries. I think that we should define a broader and fair concept, and we should have the consensus among those people living in these countries, these underdeveloped countries.
So what is your opinion about the diversity requirements currently in the at-large membership plan?
Okay, right now I think this is the five regional directors. Okay, for global directors. I think it should remain six, already suggested to have five regions well represented, and left for other seats to be open. But I think this is a good idea to have these five.
And what is your understanding of the at-large council and what their role will be in selecting the at-large director?
My first opinion was that it would be bureaucratic and to have the process to give the at-large membership less power to choose the representative or the directors. But we have to think very carefully what would be the process for choosing our electing or selecting or appointing the members directly. But we have to be careful that this choice of having a large council don't become a bureaucratic process.
And what is your level of confidence that these goals can be established and that a fair and representative at-large membership can be created?
I'm sorry.
What is your level of confidence? Do you think it can happen?
Yeah. Only if we could have the concerns of most people from this process and from most countries.
When you hear the word capture, what does that mean to you within ICANN and within the at-large membership?
The first thing that comes to my mind is be captured by commercial interests, powerful interests. Maybe not so bad, but capture is capture, and commercial interests have a lot of power to do this. But capture is also be captured by people that doesn't want to have nothing decided, and we have to be careful to have constraints or requirements very specific to not let these people capture the at-large directors on the icon.
But you feel confident that can be.
Yeah, only if we have a participation of a lot of people from different regions and diversity of opinions, and we take into account that.
So, what would be your primary concern about the development of the at-large membership?
Having a diversity group taking opinions and comments about this. Maybe maximization could help this process. Maybe the proposed or the, I don't know if this is officially proposed or not, but it's that the membership task force that would be helpful. And I don't know, maybe some other organization would help with this process.
And will you continue to participate in giving comments and maybe with the implementation task force, or are you finished participating.
Okay, and I love to participate. If there is some other people that wish to participate, that's what I want, to involve more people from my region, my country. Uh-huh. Of course, but if I could give something and some opinions, that would be great for me.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, Sarah.